You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Welcome in to the Gym Class here in KGYM on a jam-packed Friday as we come your way from our studios here in the Southwest Side. Scott Unash with you. Buttons on the other side of the glass. Mark Dukes joining us here coming up in just a couple of moments. Good show coming up for you. Cedar Rapids native NASCAR Cup driver Joey Gase will join us coming up in about 25 minutes or so, getting ready for the 2021 NASCAR Cup season, and we will talk with Joey about that as well as a big announcement they had earlier on today. So that'll be coming up on the program. We'll take a look back at the life and career of one of baseball's greatest, as Hank Aaron, Hammer and Hank, passing away earlier on today at the age of 86, the native of Mobile, Alabama, at one time the Major League Baseball home run king, and a lot of people still consider Hank Aaron the home run king. We'll talk about that. Mark will let us know about talking with Hank Aaron coming up in a little bit as well. And we will take a look back at Iowa and Indiana from last night as the Hawkeyes fall at home to the Hoosiers. Iowa goes nearly 12 minutes without a field goal. Indiana wins it 81-69 last night. And a little bit about the NFL championship games coming up on Sunday. You can catch those right here starting at 1 o'clock on KGYM. All four of our signals will have it as it'll be the NFC and the AFC championship games. Green Bay, Tampa, Kansas City taking on Buffalo with Patrick Mahomes at quarterback. Although ESPN and Buttons and I looked at each other, Mark, good afternoon, by the way.
Good afternoon.
Buttons and I looked at each other at the top of the hour when ESPN said, even though the NFL has not cleared Patrick Mahomes, don't know about that. As far as I know, he is cleared by the NFL and by personal physicians and whatnot. That's what I've read from the Chiefs. That is what I've read from most of the other places. So I guess it's 98% that he's going to be the quarterback of the Chiefs on Sunday evening.
He will be on the field, Scott. There's no question about that.
I think he will be on the field as well. And he is, he passed the independent neurological test that was taken. So before the before all the conspiracy theories come down, I'm just throwing that out there. 319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you. 319-366-1600. 8699. First one to chime in. Hank is still the home run king. And we will talk about the sudden passing of Hank Aaron this morning. Interesting, just listening to ESPN radio earlier on today, Mark. And I know that former Atlanta Mayor and Ambassador Andrew Young, good friend of Hank Aaron's. Hank had just released a wine line, and they were with one another last weekend having some of that wine. And so this was a very, very, very sudden and piece of bad news in the world of sports.
Yeah, the story is that Hank Aaron died in his sleep at, as you said, 86 years old. And I think a lot of folks have stories and remembrances about Hank Aaron. And I ran a very informal poll on my Twitter account. And, you know, more than 70% still believe he is the home run champion.
Yeah. Not officially.
Very unscientific as a word.
As unscientific as it is, no doubt about that. So we'll talk about that coming up in just a little while. And, already text coming in. And we'll talk about this 90-49. I don't think it played any part in last night and the poor shooting performance of himself or others as far as Jordan Bohannon and parking tickets are concerned. But I knew it would come up, and thank you, 90-49, for that. 31-66, no. Most players, some do. They asked, don't most players miss at least one game after going into the concussion protocol? Some do, some don't. So, people have come back during the game that had to go through concussion protocol. So it just depends on your individual case out there. 319-366-1600, and we'll talk about Hank Aaron coming up at 7176. Says, I saw Hank at Busch Stadium in August of 1973. He was on home run 701. Lou Brock caught his longest fly of the night at the left field wall. Yeah. And they have announced that it was a stroke. Thank you, Troy, for that. His cause of death out there. Died in his sleep last night, apparently. So the world mourns one of the greatest as far as the game of baseball. Baseball has had a tough 2021, Mark.
Yeah, and even back into 2020, Don Sutton, the most recent, besides Hank Aaron and
Tommy Lasorda,
and others I can't really recall everyone, but it's been a slew.
Yeah, it really has been. We'll talk about that coming up in a little bit. Let's start with last night in Iowa City, though, as Indiana came in and stifled the Hawkeyes as far as the defensive pressure in the second half is concerned. Trace Jackson Davis, 23-7 last night to hold his own and then some against the Hawkeyes inside, with Luka Garza going for 28. But the stat you needed to know was 5 for the night and nothing basically over the last 12 minutes from beyond the three-point arc last night for the Hawkeyes. And that spelled doom, and Iowa now in second place, a game behind Michigan in the Big Ten standings.
Yeah, and you can't go 11 minutes and miss 12 shots in a row and expect to win the game. And I'm talking about the second half. You can even point back to the last couple 3 minutes of the first half, and Iowa was not able to lengthen its lead either. So what once looked like a game in hand with a 9-point lead or thereabouts, in the end, it was shooting, and Jordan Bohannon is going to shoulder a lot of the blame. 0 for 9 from the field, 0 for 8 from three-point range. You just never see that. C.J. Frederick didn't play the second half because, a leg injury. That certainly didn't help. But in the end, I have to tip my hat to Indiana and its defensive play. And you and I talked earlier about its double teaming of Luka Garza and guarding on the perimeter. It was just a terrific defensive performance by Indiana. Was it a clunker for Iowa? Yeah, you can say that. But if you're on the ledge, I mean, think back to last year when we had tri-champions in the Big Ten and each one of them had 6 losses. Now, I don't think you're going to see that this year, but the champs last year were 14-6, Maryland, Wisconsin, and Michigan State. And even that great 86-87 Iowa team finished third in the league at 14-4, lost 2 home games, 2 road games. I lost 2 games to teams that finished in the middle of the pack in the Big Ten, and that's where Indiana stands right now. So, I mean, as good as Iowa played in its last 5 or 6 games, it was. I think it's an outlier. We shall see.
Yeah. Panic if this happens 2 more times. If this happens 8 days from now or whenever Iowa gets back on the court, scheduled next to go to Illinois coming up a week from this coming weekend. 57-13 says last night stinks, but it isn't the dagger. Michigan will not go 19-1, and I would agree with that. It was an outlier. It was a stinker. There was no doubt about it. And once you start shooting poorly and you don't have one of your shooters in there, things start to snowball. And they did. And I think you have to give Indiana all the credit in the world. They turned up the defensive pressure. The one thing I am a little bit concerned about is the fact I think Indiana gave a little bit of a blueprint on what to do against this Hawkeye team. Now, yes, it helps when you shoot from 3, what Iowa did last night. There is no doubt about it. That is going to help when you go 5 for 23. And you don't have one of your top guys out there with C.J. Frederick on the bench. But what Indiana did is this. They put very, very big-time ball pressure on Iowa, on the shooters, on Bohannon, on Wieskamp. Wieskamp was a non-factor in the second half. Couldn't even get the ball. And what they did, probably better than anybody, and they did it a little differently. Yes, Indiana doubled Luka Garza. But they waited until Luka got the ball and when Luka was going to make a move or put the ball on the floor. That's when they came and doubled. Most teams double early. They double Luka as he receives the ball, before he gets the ball. Indiana did it afterwards. And I thought that was very, very key because when Luka puts the ball on the floor, Indiana came and got it. And when you're a big man and you put the ball on the floor, you become a guard. And it happened a few times. And I credit the Hoosiers. I credit Coach Miller. I thought he came up with a great game plan. And Indiana attacked off the dribble last night. And like I said, that would be the one thing I'm a little bit concerned about as an Iowa basketball fan, if you're an Iowa basketball fan out there, that Indiana showed a little bit to the Big Ten about how perhaps the best way is to go against this Iowa basketball team.
I agree that approach was effective at times, but Garza still had 28.
Still had 28, though.
And the bottom line comes down to perimeter shooting and inability to, make plays off the dribble against that Indiana defense. That, to me, was far more important than what they did against Garza. And I, not that I disagree with you, it was not as big a factor, I don't think, than the perimeter defense and shutting down Bohannon and whatnot. So, Fran McCaffrey will adjust. There's no question about that. But certainly pointed out some chinks in the Iowa armor, and we'll see if this team can bounce back. It's not the end of the world. You want to win and protect your home court, but it didn't happen. And Indiana's no slouch. And I will add that I wouldn't call him an A.J. Pierzynski, but Rob Phinisee is a pain in a good way. That guy is, you not only in this game but other games, he comes up with clutch plays, clutch baskets, and he did again last night. And he's one of those guys, if in likening to Pierzynski, if he's on your team, you love him. If he's on the other team, you don't like him so much. Wonderful player, don't get me wrong, but he's just kind of a pain in the side of opposing teams.
319-366-1600. That is the text line and the phone line available to you as well. 319-366-1600. 0835. In the Big Ten, you're going to have at least one tough loss. If that's the only one, I'm glad it's now and not later in the season. Indiana played a great all-around game and had a great performance in the last 10 minutes. Thank you, 0835, for that. Conversing with our mutual friend in Indiana, Mark, last night.
Mm-hmm.
Who watches all the Hoosier games, said that was the best half, bar none, that Indiana has played all year. And I agreed. I absolutely agreed.
Yeah, I don't doubt that for a minute. And the next five games or so, very difficult for Iowa because I know you mentioned that Illinois game. A trip to Indiana awaits. Michigan is in there. Ohio State is in there. It's going to be perhaps a defining stretch for this Hawkeye team.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. Your thoughts about Iowa and Indiana from last night. Lower leg injury for C.J. Frederick is the official word. And it's probably a good thing Iowa has about 8 days off now to get C.J. healed up. And it's definitely, even though Iowa plays nine, and had to go to the 10th last night with Tony Perkins coming in, the native of the state of Indiana. It's still, you miss a gigantic piece when CJ is not in there. And it showed because the defense, and it did not help that Jordan Bohannon was just flat out off last night. And Indiana got in his face a lot and made him uncomfortable as far as his shooting is concerned. But without Frederick, Indiana really went after Joe Wieskamp last night. Really got in his grill, chased him around. Yeah, Iowa couldn't get him the ball last night, period, in the second half.
Yeah, Wieskamp was effective in the first half, but you're quite right about that. And Tony Perkins came in a guard for the Iowa Hawkeyes, and I thought gave some nice solid minutes, but he's not the long-range shooter that C.J. Frederick is, or Bohannon, or Wieskamp. That's a different lineup out there, and you got Joe Toussaint out there. He makes a few from three, but he's not a sharpshooter by any means. So you change the whole dynamic of the Iowa team when Bohannon is off, Wieskamp can't get the ball, and Frederick's on the bench.
Yeah, and boy, Iowa, it just showed. Just and the thing is, Iowa, in that 12-minute stretch where they did not have a field goal, I mean, it was not even close. And the shot selection was not there. They had to beat the shot clock. Things that you have never seen all year from an Iowa basketball team. You saw last night in that second half. And, you know, whether it was the fact that CJ was out of the ball game, they were without a shooter, had a, played a big part in that, no doubt. But let's hope it's an outlier, I guess, if you're an Iowa basketball fan.
78-62 on the text line. You got to remember, when you rank number five in the country, you're going to get the best of every team who are trying to beat you.
1954, not enamored with the officiating last night. Listen, the officiating did not beat Iowa last night. Iowa couldn't hit the broadside of a barn last night. That was the bottom line. The officials are not worth 12 points.
I agree with that. Fran McCaffrey was pretty exercised at all three during different points in the game, but I think part of that was out of frustration as well. Part of it was legitimate points that he thought he had. But I agree, whatever officiating you perceived to be flawed didn't account for the 12-point deficit.
Yeah, 1954. Weighing in with that. I'm glad Iowa got to play Indiana in football this year. Disappointing it was on the basketball court. I like your text. I like your text, but I'm going to respectfully somewhat disagree with you out there, just due to the fact that I think it was just one of those nights. Take a look. Wisconsin lost at home to Maryland. What, Illinois lost a couple times at home, I believe, so far this year. Two of their three losses at home. Is it damaging? Yes. Is it devastating? No. Like a couple of our texters mentioned earlier on. But now the road gets, like you said, Mark, a little bit tougher coming up for the Hawkeyes as they will get ready to tackle Illinois coming up. I have not heard any rumblings or any rumors to the effect that Iowa is going to make up one of their games. We're starting to hear Iowa State makeups. The Cyclones are going to play NBA ball here in February, by the way, with some of their scheduling, as the two Kansas games have been put back into the schedule and the Texas game has been put back into the schedule. But Iowa goes to Illinois on the 29th, Ohio State at home. They go back and play Indiana on February the 7th. And then it is Rutgers coming up then on Wednesday, February the 10th. That is back in Iowa City after Iowa won up at Piscataway. So, and then Michigan State up at East Lansing. So there are some tough games coming up for this Iowa basketball team. They're all tough, though.
And then Michigan State game that was postponed at Iowa might get wedged in there somehow as well.
Yeah, it's going to have to be if the Big Ten wants to get their 20 games in. We'll see. We'll see about that. 319-366-1600. Keep the text coming. We do appreciate it. 0835 goes on with saying, not enough driving to the hoop seems to open up our shooters. Not enough of that in the second half. Was it just me, but I feel like I didn't hear, enough Toussaint last night. As we saw after Minnesota, Iowa will bounce back, in my opinion. Trace Jackson Davis might be the most underrated player in the Big Ten. I would agree with that. Or Fennessy. I mean, like your guy, Mark. Fennessy makes that team go a little bit, but Trace Jackson Davis, he's the big gun in that team.
Very skilled. I think the last texter meant to type Ulysses' name instead of Unit's name, but I could be wrong about that. I don't know. You know, I don't know about you, Scott, but when talking to Iowa basketball fans and reading texts and whatnot, Toussaint is really either really like his play or you don't. And perhaps that's because he's a bit inconsistent. he'll kick it off his leg every now and then, throw it away. But the next trip down the court, he'll make a beautiful penetrating drive and make a reverse layup, dish to somebody. His game, I don't think, has evened out, but he adds an element in terms of quickness and ability to get to the basket that I don't think Iowa has in other players.
True. I would agree with that. 52-68, most of the team looked like they were not mentally prepared to play last night. That according to Dave. 45-70 adds, I think sometimes with all the feeds into Garza and his battling underneath, the other guys get knocked out of the flow of the game and lose their momentum. Whatever it was, did not shoot it well last night.
That wasn't the case the previous five games, but it certainly was last night.
Yeah. And 64-39, this won't be the last loss like this season. Iowa will have problems against quick teams when the three isn't falling. And I can't disagree with that. But a lot of teams have problems when the threes aren't falling. 5 for 23 is the bottom line in this thing. I mean, Luka Garza had 28. Also had 4 turnovers. And I think a lot of those were in the second half caused by Indiana's late double teaming. Coming in there and knocking the ball away. And the fact that without C.J. Frederick, when Luka had to get it out of there, he just could not find an outlet and had to force up some things. So all added up to a 12-point loss. And we'll see what happens coming up next weekend if Iowa does not have a makeup game prior to that next week, which right now I don't think is going to be the case. So 45-70, you talked about Joe Toussaint, Mark. Toussaint breaks aggressive defenses down, needs to play point more, and move Jabo off to the perhaps the shooting guard position, which happens at times when Toussaint is in there. Toussaint is in there. And also, you know, you took a guard away last night and had to redo the rotation without Frederick. I mean, you can go and, say, play the what-if game for a long, long time. Bottom line is Indiana got it done in the second half last night. And when that momentum started going downhill for Iowa in the opposite direction and Indiana started hitting shots and playing defense, you were kind of waiting for the bottom to fall out, and it did.
Yeah, and I'll go back to my original point and tipping my cap to Indiana and its defense and its opportunistic play in the second half. Very, very tough team. Very Trace Jackson Davis, you mentioned. What a terrifically skilled player he is. But they've got other players on that team. We mentioned Fennessy, but there are others. So I know Indiana probably gave away a few games down the pike here in the first part of the Big Ten season, but didn't last night, that's for sure.
No. 319-366-1600. Keep the text rolling in here. We're going to take a break and come back, and we're going to shift things a little bit. We're going to talk a little bit about the 2021 NASCAR season. Joey Gase is going to be joining us. We're going to talk about Hank Aaron coming up and the NFC and AFC championship games as well coming up. We have a poll question for you at KGYMradio.com, brought to you by Steve Anderson and Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Mark, you want to just give our poll question right away here?
We can do that. Which Super Bowl matchup would you most like to see in a couple weeks? Obviously, 4 choices. Would you like to see the Packers-Chiefs, the Packers-Bills, the Bills-Bucks, or the Bucks and the Chiefs? KGYMRadio.com. Register your vote.
NBC, of course, it's CBS this year. CBS has it. They're throwing everything in there for Tampa, Buffalo. That's what the NBC executives want. I kid. NBC with some not-so-good news today, if you saw, Mark, before we get to break here. Sounds like NBC Sports Network is on its last legs and is going to be dissolved this year. And all of the programming on NBC Sports, the live programming, which includes a lot of racing, a lot of hockey, and the like, sound like it's going to be going to the USA Network, which is also owned by the NBC umbrella, and maybe a little bit to the Peacock situation. But yeah, NBC Sports sounds like it is not going to be around very much longer. So that's a shame. All right, we'll take a break, come back, and Joey Gase will join us, and we'll talk some racing with you after this here on KGYM.
Been a better time to find out why BetMGM is the king of sportsbooks. Right now, new customers have a chance to win $100 in free bets when they place a $1 wager on Conor McGregor to win against Dustin Poirier in their fight on January 23rd. Just use bonus code HANSEN100 when you make your first bet to take advantage of this offer. Get ready to start betting with confidence and turning knockouts into payouts. Sign up today and discover BetMGM's boosted odds specials, daily promotions, and more. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use bonus code HANSEN100 to win $100 in free bets if McGregor defeats Poirier. Get in the ring with the king and enjoy fight night more than ever. It's always showtime at BetMGM. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older, Iowa only. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
The world has faced a lot of challenges since the 1940s, when Willa Dickens walked in the door of Hertin and Stocker Jewelers. And over the decades, as his business and family grew, he realized that jewelry is more than mere metals and stones. It's a message, one that's lasting and meaningful. It can be something you say to yourself, like cheery, colorful gemstones that tell you beautiful days are ahead. Or a diamond that says, you are stronger than you know. Jewelry from Hertin and Stocker can also offer a special message to someone else, conveying sentiments like, I love you, I appreciate your friendship, or I can't wait until we see each other again. It's a beautiful statement you make to yourself or the people who are important in your life, especially now. So stop and see what's sparkling in those famous windows at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
Back with you at 3:31 here in the gym class in KGYM. A reminder that KGYM has partnered with Fairfax State Savings Bank to bring you KGYM's Community MVP. If your organization has a charity or a fundraising event coming up, we want to help you get the word out. If your event is still on, please submit your information at least 60 days prior to your event. You can find out more information by going to our website at kgymradio.com. We'll talk about the late, great Hank Aaron coming up before 4 o'clock, a little bit about football as well. But the racing season is right around the corner. Not here so much. But it is around the corner as far as NASCAR, as Speed Week's coming up at Daytona in just a little while. And our friend Joey Gase, the Cedar Rapids native, drives for Rick Ware Racing, getting ready for the 2021 season, and joining us on the phone from, I think you're in Charlotte, aren't you, Joey?
Yep, we're Cheryl's Ford, which is basically a suburb of Charlotte, so we're right here.
All right. Are you being quiet? Are the twins napping right now, or?
Caitlin actually just rushed them out of my office, so they had a long nap in a car ride earlier today. They had a blast playing at the park. So
awesome. You would need two parkas and a hood and pairs of mittens today in Iowa. So you're in the right spot.
Yeah, today's a super nice day here. It's 60 degrees and sunny, so you can't ask more than that this time of year, that's for sure.
No doubt. And good news last week as far as the announcement, and I know that's a weight off your shoulders anyway, and headed back to the Cup Series in 2021. That's great.
Yeah, it is for sure. You know, it's great to be back with Rick. Right now we're doing about half a season, but hopefully that turns into more if we can find some more funding along the way. But super excited to be back, and even, you know, also very excited to be back in the Daytona 500. You know, that's always a dream come true anytime you can race in that race, and I think this year especially it's going to be one of the most competitive 500s we've seen in a long time, and we're locked in with the charter, so that makes it even more less stressful, I guess you would say.
Joey, how trying is the off season when you're not maybe entirely sure of what's going to happen in the ensuing season?
You know, a lot of people, I think, assume that, you know, us in the off season just hang out and don't do much and enjoy it, which is a little bit true, but not so much. You know, it's the off season's normally one of the most stressful times of the year for me, because, like you said, you don't know exactly what's going to happen for next year. Sometimes you do if you're lucky enough to get your plans done beforehand, but for most people, that's not the case. So you know, I'm glad we at least got that part of it done. But you know, there's still a lot of work to do. You know, you got to make sure we can still perform on the racetrack, and not only that, we still got to find funding to fill in the gaps throughout the season as well.
Yeah, and that's the big thing. I mean, getting a ride obviously is number one priority, but then you got to knock on doors and things like that. And it's easier said than done, because you're doing it. The top teams are doing it. Everybody is trying to get that sponsorship money out there. And, you know, it's not as easy as it was 25 years ago or so. You got to work hard at it.
No, that's for sure. You know, I think it definitely, you know, it's been getting harder, especially obviously with COVID and everything going along with the election and, you know, and all that stuff definitely has not made it any easier either. And, you know, and you know probably just as well as I do now, right?
Being yep.
the director at Hawkeye Downs, and we're all trying to do the same thing. But it's not easy by any means, but we're fortunate enough to have some really good partners that we have right now with our Donate Life organizations and Eternal Fan and Page Construction, you know. And you know, a lot of those partners help us out at Hawkeye Downs too, which is great.
As you know, Joey, fellow Cedar Rapidian Landon Castle got a full-time Xfinity Series ride just announced. How much will we see you on that circuit?
You know, I can say you definitely will see me there at least on a very limited schedule this year. I can't announce everything with that quite yet, but we definitely got some really cool things going on there that hopefully will be announcing here shortly. And we were able to, I don't know if you guys were able to see it or not yet either, but we were able to make another cool announcement today.
Saw that.
We're starting our own late model development team that is going to be housed mostly out here in North Carolina and racing the late model series out here. But, you know, hopefully we'll also be racing that in the Midwest and at Hawkeye Downs at times as well. So super excited about that. You know, it's another thing to add to the plate, but I absolutely love late model racing and thankful for, you know, Page Construction helping us make that happen. And, you know, we had Jason Holliday racing our modified out at Hawkeye Downs this past year, and he'll be the guy wheeling this year. And so that's really exciting to be able to do that as well.
Yeah, and he'll do a good job with that, no doubt. Joey Gates joining us here at 3:37 on the Gym Class on KGYM. And these are, like you mentioned, with your announcement today, these are also pretty exciting times for Rick Ware Racing. They seem to be branching out in all kinds of different directions with different series. They're announcing, I think, an IndyCar thing coming up, getting tied in with that, road racing, NASCAR racing. And it's just a really good family organization to be with, I would imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I have a hard time sleeping at night normally with all the different things I have going on, but I definitely don't know how Rick does it. That's for sure. He definitely has a bunch going on, from, you know, Ford Cup teams and Xfinity teams, and then, like you said, like possibly going to be having an IndyCar team as well. And then right now, they're a bunch of the guys are down in Daytona for the Roar before the 24, and they'll be having a car in the 24 hours of Daytona as well. So Rick definitely has a bunch of things going on, and you know, he's doing a bunch of things to really try to step up the Cup program this year as well. So I'm definitely super thankful and excited to be part of a team like that, you know, we branches out in so many different sports and growing so quickly and heading in the right direction.
a nice run at Daytona last year with a 23rd place finish, and I think that equaled your best from a couple 3 years prior to that. But you got to look forward to Daytona every year.
Oh, absolutely. You know, racing in Daytona, and if it's the Cup car or Xfinity car or really anything, you're always really excited to be there. And but, you know, the 500, there's definitely nothing quite like the Daytona 500. You know, my first time was in 2017, and you know, that was definitely one of the funnest week and a half that I've ever been a part of. You know, I was doing double duty that weekend, and the Xfinity car, we were, I think, in second with one lap to go, and unfortunately, of course, the big guys teamed up on us, and we got shuffled back to seventh. And you know, that was my first Daytona 500 experience, and we ran really well down there and in the duels, and then also in the 500. So that was you know, an amazing experience. So every time, you know, that just makes me want to do it more and more again the next time. And like you said, we got 23rd last year as well, and that was another amazing experience. And you know, it was a packed house, and the president was there, and that was in the first times for that, and just everything extra going to that made it just, you know, that much more special and crazier. But this year is hopefully going to be even better. You know, if we can beat hopefully that 23rd place finish that I've gotten both times, like you said, is a good finish, but I would definitely love to beat that and then maybe into the top 15 here this next go around.
Yeah. Joey, what's working with the team? Who's going to be the crew chief this year that you're working with? And tell us about that a little bit.
Yeah, we'll be working with Billy down in the Daytona 500, and he was actually the car chief over on the 13 car the last couple years with Ty Dillon. You know, he's a little bit of a younger guy like me, but he's super, super smart and super motivated. You know, like I said, this is his first time ever being a crew chief in the Cup Series, so he has a lot to prove. You know, just like I do. So, super excited to be working with him. And then, it looks like the majority of the rest of the season, I will be in the 15 car with Pat Tryson being the crew chief. So both of them are great guys, and I'm looking forward to working with both of them.
Indeed. And well, you mentioned the schedule this year and what you're looking at, Joey, and yes, Cup races are great, but you get a chance maybe to dabble a little bit, which is kind of fun as well. I mean, we love having you back here in Cedar Rapids when you're here and driving. I know you were at Oktoberfest. You got into a truck up there. It just gives you a little bit of an opportunity to do a lot of things, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. You know, obviously, I would love to be full-time in the Cup Series again, which hopefully, you know, still could happen. But like you said, at the same time, it allows you to do a bunch of other things at the same time. And like this late model program, it just worked out where it looks like most of those races are on what's supposed to be off weekends for me right now, and do exciting things and, you know, hopefully come back to Hawkeye Downs and a few other places and race again as well. You know, the Midwest Truck Series, are racing that up in La Crosse last year, and that was a blast. And I see that's on the schedule again for Hawkeye Downs. And I also see the Big 8 race is scheduled out there as well. So I definitely have those two races circle on my calendar, and definitely going to try to make it out there for that.
Great. That'll be great to see. And when are you heading down to Daytona?
We'll actually be heading down to Daytona on my birthday, which is February 8th. I think the garage opens up actually the next day or Wednesday for us. Of course, it's COVID. Everything seems to be changing every 2 seconds on the schedule. But as of right now, I think they have us planned to go down and have practice early Wednesday afternoon. And then we'll be doing single car qualifying underneath the lights on Fox. So that'll be really cool to have qualifying there in Daytona under the lights. And then, of course, Thursday night is the duels. Like I said earlier, I think the duels this year are going to be some of the most exciting duels we've seen in a long time. You got you got a lot of really good cars showing up down there, and you know, they're not all going to make it. There's 36 charters, so that means there's only 4 teams that get to race their way in, and you got Penske showing up, you got Colleague, you got Beardmore Sports, which is almost basically another RCR entry, and the list goes on. I think there's about 5 or 6 powerhouse teams trying to make it, and only 4 will get in. So I'm excited as a race fan to see how that turns out, and I'm going to be there right there in the middle of it. So I think we're definitely going to try to be safe in the duels and then make sure we keep our car in one piece down there.
Yep, that's the big thing. That's the big thing. Avoid the big ones. That's a key when you get down to Daytona. Well, Joey, hey, appreciate it, and best of luck in 2021. We'll be talking soon, and say hi to the family and Jason Carson, and make sure that they get in the shop and help you out a little bit down there.
I'll definitely do that. I'll send you a video once we get off here. They just went in the shop with me for the first time last weekend, and it was pretty awesome. They wanted to get their hands on right away, and Mom was pretty nervous because they got their hands all greasy, and that was the first time she got to experience that.
All right. Thanks, Joey. Appreciate it.
All righty. Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
All right. Joey Gase joining us from down in Charlotte, North Carolina, Cedar Rapids native. And a driver on the NASCAR series for Rick Ware Racing. 3:45, we'll take a break, come back. We'll talk about the late, great Hank Aaron. And we'll also look at the AFC and NFC championship games coming up this weekend. Stay with us, more to come on the Gym Class right after this on KGYM.
Fight fans, I can't be the only one who's pumped for the Conor McGregor-Dustin Poirier rematch this Saturday. What are you thinking? McGregor in the first round again by TKO? Or does Poirier make him tap? Well, guess what? You can make these very bets on FanDuel Sportsbook. They've got so many different ways to get in on the action. And right now, when you open a FanDuel account, new users can unlock 25-1 odds on either fighter to win. That means that you can turn $5 into $125. FanDuel is the best place to bet on all the big fights. It's so easy to use. And when you win, they get you your winnings in as little as 24 hours. So just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and use promo code KUHN to unlock 25-1 odds. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code KUHN. Must be 21 plus and present in Iowa. New users only. Max bonus $125. Minimum $10 first deposit required. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
From kitchen tables on years-old laptops, your employees scrambled to help keep your business running when things got crazy. Now, as work from home settles in for a longer haul, some computers will need to be replaced. Do it right with help from Network Computer Solutions. They sell business-grade computers that stand up to heavy workloads and interface correctly with your network. Make sure your people have the equipment they need to keep up their impressive, productive pace. Get in touch with local, friendly Network Computer Solutions at ncsei.com.
Perhaps the Metro's top basketball rivalry is revisited this Friday night on KGYM. Hi, this is Guy Nash. Join us Friday at 5:50 on 107.5 FM, the KGYM radio app and stream, as the Linmar Lions tangle with the Kennedy Cougars in a girl-boy doubleheader. It's the second meeting between the teams this season, with the Lions winning the girls' game and the Cougars the boys' game the first time around. That's NBC Girls Doubleheader Basketball, Linmar and Kennedy, Friday night at 5:50 on 107.5 FM, KGYM. Back with the other Gym Class here at KGYM. Tweets continue to come in as we have folks talking still about Iowa and Indiana. Going to talk about the late, great Hank Aaron and your reminiscences about the former home run champion who passed away from a stroke in his sleep last night. And 319-366-1600 is the text line. A couple things we got to get to here first, though. 5268, one of my New Year's resolutions was not to go to bed mad. I broke it last night. yeah, 5731, look around the league. Everyone has had a bad game or two. Very much. I don't know, Troy, if your cable will be cheaper without NBC Sports Network. I am not in a position to comment on that, nor do I know about that. 1960, the Big Ten is the best league in the nation. It is not surprising to take some losses. Don't worry. It will be good. Everything will be good come tourney time. There you go. We lost Hank Aaron last night, Mark, and a lot of people reminiscing today around the sports world and the baseball world. He was bigger than baseball. There was no doubt about that. And, you know, you think about some of the top athletes of the 20th century, especially African-American athletes. I think Hank Aaron's got to be right up there very close to the great Muhammad Ali as well for worldwide recognition anyway. And just an amazing, amazing ambassador as far, and a great man from all I read today. You got a chance to actually interview Hank Aaron, didn't you?
I did. In 1982, he was in Cedar Rapids to attend the what was called the Baseball Card and Comic Book Extravaganza at what was then the Stouffer's Five Season Hotel. And he came on a Saturday. Ernie Banks appeared on Sunday. And he answered a variety of questions, everything from, I remember one of the main things, actually I looked back on the story today when I went to the archives, and he said he was more proud of being the 1957 National League Most Valuable Player than he was in hitting 755 home runs. He said the home runs were largely a matter of longevity. He played 23 seasons and averaged about 33, 34 home runs a season. He was very consistent in that regard, but he recognized that the longevity and the Braves won the World Series that season as well. So that's one of the things he said in that interview. And he also spoke about the strike that baseball had to endure around that time, and the shortcomings in blacks being in the front office of major league teams. And I remember he's asked who the best player of the time was. This was 1982, and he said Mike Schmidt, which was pretty interesting. There were a lot of great players at that time, but I remember just him just being a gentleman, respectful, not vengeful. He could have been with all the prejudice and hatred that he'd endured in his life. And lastly, I'll say I remember visiting Horace Garner's house, which is a stone's throw from our radio station. He was on Wilson Avenue, and to do a story on Horace and sharing the scrapbooks and the conversations that Garner had in regards to Hank Aaron. It was Aaron and Garner and Felix Mantilla who integrated the South Atlantic League in 1953. Horace had many stories about what those three players had to endure at that time. And I think Aaron in his book said Horace Garner, in his mind, would have made the major leagues had he not become injured. So I guess that's some of my recollections, and I know a lot of folks out there have similar ones.
Yeah. 86-99, thank you for weighing in. Averaging 33 home runs a season for 23 seasons is absolutely crazy. I would agree with that. Cajun Troy, I remember being 12 years old, jumping up and down with my siblings when he broke the home run record. I will remember his humbleness, faith, knowledge of baseball, and kindness. And he knew about Jackie Robinson dealing with all the hatred as being the first black baseball player. There would not have been a Hank Aaron. He as well dealt with the hatred of breaking a white man's record. And yes, very much so. Up through the time he hit the home run off of Al Downing. Just death threats and things like that that Hank Aaron had to deal with. And
even after that.
Even after that. One of the earliest recognitions of sports. I still remember where I was watching that particular game and watching that particular. I mean, this was back. This was not, you know, you got to think back. There was no internet. There was no, you know, you had one game a week or whatever the case may be. And, you know, that's how you got your news. You got it from the news, basically, or the next day's box score or whatever. When things broke. But it was a huge deal when Hank Aaron hit that home run. Maybe one of the most famous home runs in baseball history.
Yeah, and what I remember about that, too, is the two youngsters following him around the bases, starting after he had rounded second base. And how those guys got on the field, I don't know, because it wouldn't happen today. That's for sure.
Well, Aaron said, I have no idea what these guys are going to do to me.
Yeah.
And
of all the remarkable statistics you can throw out about Hank Aaron, Scott, you can take away his 755 home runs, and he'd still have over 3,000 hits in his career.
Yeah.
Think about that.
That is amazing. That is amazing. And what a great ambassador to the game of baseball, certainly. And several different play-by-play remembrances today. Vin Scully's still, I mean, makes the hairs on the back of your neck stand up with his call, of course, with the Braves and the Dodgers playing on that particular day. But just some great memories, and we will miss Hank Aaron, no doubt about that. 3:55 here on the Gym Class on KGYM. Thank you for tuning in. We've got basketball coming your way tonight. Doubleheader action. Kennedy hosting Linmar. I'll be out there. Steve will join me for the girls' game, and Ryan Lersman for the boys' game tonight. 5:50 on 107.5 FM. It'll be City High hosting West in just girls action tonight. That will be at 7:15 tonight. Ryan Schlater and Eric Peterson on the call on that one. Top 10 matchup in girls 5A basketball on 106.3 FM. For basketball folks out there, for classes 2A and classes 1A on the boys' side, the sub-state groupings and district groupings came out today if you want to check those out. Or your favorite team, or your local school, or your local team, or whatever out there. But those are out today. 3A and 4A will be coming out for their groupings next week. These are not the pairings. Coaches have to get together in meetings and seed things, but the groupings are definitely out there. So, and then tomorrow, also, we'll have Regina and Solon in a doubleheader on 106.3 FM coming your way tomorrow. And I think that'll be at about 3:15 or so. All right, Mark, we got a couple of football games on Sunday starting at 1 o'clock here in KGYM. NFC, Green Bay, and Tampa Bay. A lot of Packer fans around here. A lot of Tristan Wirfs fans around here. Probably pulling for Tampa Bay, especially in the eastern half of Linn County, where people, I think, are probably a little bit torn. We'll see in Mount Vernon how that plays out. But your thoughts about that one first.
Well, you know, it's just wonderful watching Brady and with Wirfs in the mix on that offensive line. I just don't know that the Packers are playing at a very high level right now. And if that continues, you know, it's going to be Green Bay in the Super Bowl.
I would agree. I think the Packers are playing the best of anybody right now. And I fully expect Green Bay to win unless they turn the ball over. The weather's supposed to be okay. High 20s. Maybe a chance of a little bit of light snow. We'll see. Troy is picking Green Bay, Kansas City, by the way, which is our poll question out there. I think the Packers will edge Tom Brady and the Patriots. All right, what do you think? You know my vote on the Chiefs and Bills. I will abstain.
Yeah, I think we know your vote. I think this is going to be a whale of a football game. The Chiefs, correct me if I'm wrong, won in Buffalo.
Yeah, they won pretty handily.
Season. I think this is going to be an extremely close game, maybe come down to a turnover. We'll see how Mahomes' foot is, how much mobility he's going to have. I still go with the Chiefs, but I'm not extremely confident.
More confident in the Packers?
Yes.
Okay. If indeed it is the Chiefs and the Packers, it would be a rematch of Super Bowl I, when it wasn't even called the Super Bowl, I don't think. It was the AFL-NFL championship game back then. So we'll see how it all plays out. We'll talk about that on Monday and more, including Iowa basketball with Mike Kolas. He will join us on the program coming up on Monday. Stay tuned. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn is coming your way next right here on KGYM from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. And then high school basketball coming your way tonight. And everybody have a very fun and safe weekend out there. And Mark, we'll talk to you Monday.
Sounds great. Talk to you then.
All right, Buttons, you have a good weekend as well, and everybody out there. And we'll talk to you tonight over at Kennedy on 107.5 FM at about 5:50. Stay tuned. Todd and Alex are next.
It's time for some straight talk. Look, we all drop our phones. It happens. You fumble it, crack it, splash it. Well, Straight Talk Wireless now offers this new Platinum Unlimited plan that includes phone protection. Just $65 a month for unlimited talk, text, and data, plus 20 gigs of hotspot, 100 gigs of cloud storage, and more. All on the best network. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise.